Hi there, this is ET Markets Investor's Guide, a show about asset classes, market trends and investment opportunities. This is Atul PM. Sectors considered cyclical in common investment parlance have witnessed a staggering rise over the past 3 months. Investors believe the rollout of COVID vaccines and large fiscal stimulus in advanced economies will help these sectors recover from this rut. However, concerns remain as investors have seen several false turns for cyclical sectors in the last 10 years. We're caught up with Anshul Saigal, Head of PMS and Portfolio Manager at Kotak Mahindra AMC, to get his views on whether the cyclical theme has solid ground and if the forthcoming budget can provide a new trigger for a rally in cyclical stocks. Welcome to the show, Mr. Saigal. How optimistic are you about the cyclical theme that investors are going gaga over and why?
I'm saying that in cyclicals, we are coming off at least a 3-year down cycle. And that down cycle is just starting to reverse. We've seen some bit of that reversal play out recently. And we have to see it in the context of two sort of vantage points. One is prices of cyclicals. The second is volumes of cyclicals. And when I'm talking of cyclicals, I'm talking of, say, commodities. In that context, we have to see both prices and volumes. Okay. And try and understand what will be the driver of volumes and prices. Now, for commodities, clearly, volume driver is economic activity picking up. So if, say, construction, infrastructure, real estate, all those activities pick up, then commodities have greater demand. So that is one aspect or one vantage point. The other aspect is that how will prices move? And more times than not, we have seen in the case of commodities that stock prices move in line with actual commodity prices. So if commodity prices go down, stock prices go down and vice versa. Now, in the context of what is happening around the world just now, we are seeing unprecedented amounts of liquidity being pumped into the system. Just for context, in the US, the US Fed's balance sheet, which used to be at about $3.8 trillion till about 2019, is today roughly over $7 trillion. And this sort of an expansion is unprecedented, as we have seen everywhere else in the globe as well. What this does is that if the size of the cake is same, which means that if the quantum of commodities in the world is the same and the amount of cash which is going after these commodities becomes so much more, then the value of the cake, which is the commodities, starts moving up. And we see this cycle playing out today because there is so much liquidity chasing such few assets, and hence commodity prices will move up and or are likely to move up. And that trend is likely to play out even in stock prices.
I was saying that within the larger cyclical theme, which are the sectors that you are really, you know, looking out for or are getting you excited from a near to medium term perspective?
In our judgment, the space that is going to surprise on the upside in the coming year is real estate and ancillary sectors. Okay. Why we believe that is that over last 6 to 7 years, we've seen a down cycle in real estate. And what that has done is that prices across the country have corrected in many areas by about 30 to 40%. And in other locations, they've time corrected. So prices haven't moved up. And in the same time, we are seeing that salaries and incomes of buyers have moved up over the last 6 to 7 years. So affordability has gone up, in fact, quite substantially so. And secondly, what has also happened is that because of regulation, and you know, we all know about RERA, etc., a lot of the weak developers are out of business. And the developers who remain are actually the robust developers who will actually gain market share going forward. So we anticipate that there will be greater formalization of the real estate sector. And because of enhanced affordability on account of prices being lowered, incomes being higher, as also mortgage rates being at the lowest that at least in my last 20 years of memory I have seen. I don't remember a time when mortgage rates were at 6.75%. Given all of these three things, we believe volumes in real estate should start picking up in the current year. And it will have a ripple effect on all ancillary sectors, from tiles to plywood to cement to steel. Everything will have a rub-off effect of real estate actually picking up, volumes picking up. So this is one space where we think there is opportunity going ahead and there will be tailwinds in the coming year. Add to the, you know, the physical aspect of real estate, you can also play this space through housing finance companies. And we are already seeing, for instance, in the case of HDFC, their volume uptick in the quarter ended December, a number which has been publicly declared, is up as much as 26%. And, you know, this is in a time where we are coming off COVID, which tells you that there is a broad-based recovery in this space, and it is also being reflected in housing finance numbers.
Right, sir. So, as you mentioned, you know, real estate, of course, there has been a lot of work that has also gone in from the government side as well, although not as much as probably the industry would want. But when we talk about cyclicals, especially on the infrastructure side, the government plays a very important role. Given that we have the union budget coming up, how crucial will the budget be for setting, you know, for probably poking the sector's outlook even more and probably letting even more investors become attracted towards the cyclical theme overall in the economy?
So there have already been over the last few years many incentives which have given to investors to invest in the real estate in the infrastructure space, and incremental tax benefits, which is what one can anticipate from the budget, the impending budget, may not be so much of a driver. What is going to be more of a driver is government policy through the year, which will be allocation of course capital to the real estates, to the infrastructure space, as also policy measures to ease the hurdles in undertaking infrastructure projects. For instance, a road contractor has hurdles in getting bank guarantees, and in many instances they have to the road developer has to actually keep a physical security to get access to bank guarantees, and that security obviously is finite. There is these developers don't have infinite capital, and that limits hence their capacity in going out and developing infrastructure. Some of these hurdles would need to be removed for infrastructure companies to grow, as also allocation to infrastructure of capital will also need to grow. It has to be a comprehensive activity which has to lay out through the year, rather than actually having too much of an expectation from this one event, which is the budget.
Could PSU banks could also be a proxy way of playing the entire cyclical theme and the real estate theme that you're talking about?
That is a possibility, although one has to keep in mind that this COVID phase has done something which GST couldn't, which is that the unorganized players have been actually hurt quite significantly, and the organized and business is becoming more and more organized. Now, quality of lending will also make a difference in determining whether you're going to get recoveries. If you have lending to, say, unorganized players or players who have not been prudent in the past, then a recovery in the cyclical trade will not really lead to much benefit because many of these companies will have gone out of business. But on the other hand, if you have lent to the prudent, well-run, less leveraged, more formal sort of companies, even in the cyclical sectors, then chances of recovery go up. But as a whole, a rising tide lifts all boats. And you're correct that if there is a reversal or a trend reversal in the cyclical sectors, steel, et cetera, then many of these banks will start getting recoveries and it will be definitely beneficial for them. But one has to keep in mind that this may not be a secular trend. It may be more, as you rightly said, a cyclical trend. And in a cyclical trend, the up cycle is followed by the down cycle. And for that reason, these may be at best just trades rather than actual investment bets for the long term. Even today, the long-term investment bets in the banking space remain the private sector players because of the structure of those banks and financial institutions, and also a history of having performed better on account of this structure of ownership and operation. Short answer, this may be a trade, not so much a secular investment bet.
Right, sir. So if I may now ask you to, probably gaze at your crystal ball. You mentioned that the real estate sector plus ancillaries and home finance is one piece that you're really looking at. But if I were to ask you that, among these, which will be the sector where you could actually see wealth compounders over the next, say, 3 to 5 years, which will be your pick where we could see maximum wealth compounders coming forward? Which sector would be your pick?
Wealth compounding typically happens where there is, and I'm talking more philosophically, where there is a sort of a edge that a company has in its connect with its customers. Now, this edge can happen through a brand that a company has, or a cost advantage, or even a distribution advantage that a company has, or a combination of these. If you are cheaper than your nearest competitor, obviously your customer will come to you and he will keep coming to you, which is why you will compound on your earnings. If you have a brand which stands for quality and the customer realizes that, he will keep coming to you and you will continue to generate superior earnings, and that will compound returns. And hence, given this setup, I would say companies that have created brands or have a cost advantage in the more cyclical sectors, those are the companies or subsectors which will actually do well. In this context, I would say that if you look at, say, some of the tile manufacturers, or you look at some of the plywood manufacturers, or cables and wires, or fast-moving electrical goods, these are businesses which will benefit from the real estate revival, but where the connect with the customer is more because of the brands. In the case of, say, cement, there are many companies, the price of cement is market determined, so you have no edge in having a higher price or a lower price. But where you have an edge is how you manage your operations and control costs. So cement manufacturers will benefit in terms of volumes, but those companies which have a control over their costs will continue to generate higher returns on equity and hence will be better compounders of capital. And same goes for real estate. If you're a real estate developer and have a history of having delivered on time, have a strong balance sheet, and have a brand which stands for quality, your customers will have a connect with you, and hence you will be able to compound returns over a period of time. That's how I would look at it.
Thank you, Mr. Saikal. That was indeed an insightful conversation. If you liked today's episode, please share it on social media and with your friends. For more such insightful conversations, actionable ideas and trend-busting stories, do visit etmarkets.com and download the ET Markets app from Google Play Store or Apple Store. Have a good day.